greater than all we see, greater than all we ask. We ask the great things. Lifted up, defeated the grave, raised to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. God is with us. God is on our side. He will make a way. Grace to life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. To life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. Lifted up, we defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God is able. To life, our God is able. In His name we overcome. For the Lord our God is able. Lifted up, He defeated the grave. Raised to life, our God.
Independence Day. I figured we'd talk about that a little bit this morning. Is that all right? We commemorate the 4th of July as the day that the Declaration of Independence was signed. Historians tell us that actually it was the next day or maybe the next day, but we celebrate the 4th of July as Independence Day. Right? I'm kind of glad that's one they haven't messed with, because it really would have thrown everything off if you had the 4th of July celebrated the next Monday or something. They've kept it right on the 4th. That kind of keeps it clear. It's kind of a ironic situation in a way, because when you consider we eat food and go out and have picnics and set off fireworks, the actual day of July the 4th, 1776, was not a very good day. Those individuals that sat in that room and signed that Declaration of Independence were basically signing their names to a document that could very well cost them their lives. It was a time of incredible rebellion. The fact is that the war for independence had started in 1775. They started the original skirmishes of it. So when it's the dates of the war for independence are set down, it is set down as 1775 through 1783. It wasn't free. It cost some lives. Listen to this. There were over 100 battles fought. The British had 15,000 soldiers committed and 4,675 died. The Loyalists, or those that lived in the colonies, of which this film was made about the Patriots, 5,200 fought and 2,970 gave their lives. The Hessians, 10,765 fought, 3,550 died, and there were 15,000 civilians killed. Collateral damage. On the Patriot side, the Patriots, 46,000 fought, 7,000 died in the battle, and 10,000 died of disease during the war. The French committed 34,500 troops, and 750 died. And the Spanish, 8,000 fought, 450 died. That means 119,465 fought on this war of independence, and 60,395 died. Freedom is not free. You know, I think these are lessons that we really, 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 really need to keep in front of our children. We enjoy incredible freedoms here in this country, but those freedoms came at a cost, and by the way, they will be maintained at a cost. Two 2,000 years ago, there was a battle fought for independence. It was waged for the hearts and the souls of mankind. That battle was fought on a cross. Jesus was the singular casualty. But he was enough. You see, I don't know if you've ever recognized this, but Jesus, the son of David, was David in this battle against Goliath, the big mouth, the boaster, the one who proclaimed to be greater than anybody else. "Come out and fight me," he said to Jesus. And Jesus took your sins and my sins, and they were nailed to a cross on Independence Day 2,000 years ago. One man, one cross, bought freedom for whosoever will call upon his name. That's still true today. Carrying the burden of sin, feel hopeless and helpless. Jesus fought the battle already. You don't have to keep fighting. Just say his name. Let him in your life. Let him be your master. Let him be your Lord. He already paid the debt. Already fought the battle. You can have the freedom this morning. This battle was not the battle for the freedom of the world. The Declaration of Independence was not signed and sealed with the blood of the patriots to bring freedom to the entire world. It was to bring freedom to the colonies of these United States. When Jesus hung upon the cross and died and gave his life for the freedom of the hearts and the souls of men, it was not to liberate this world. It was to liberate those who would believe on his name. This world of ours has been in bondage since Adam and Eve relinquished its rule over to Satan. They took what God had preciously given to them to possess, to conquer, to even rule over, and they handed that precious possession over to Satan as an act of their will. And since that day, he has had dominion over these earths, over this earth and over these peoples. This morning, I want to talk to you about the final Independence Day. You'll find it with me in Revelation chapter 19. We're going to begin to read at verse number 11 in just a moment. This is the day when Satan is defeated, bound, and the followers of Christ in this world find the ultimate liberty. This is a world without temptation, without evil. Hard to imagine, isn't it? Anybody ever get kind of tired of all the sin and all the pain and all the hurt that's going on in our world? You know, we are the first generation of mankind to know everything about all the pain, all the hurt, all the sorrow, all the struggle, all the difficulty, all the sin, all the agony that's going on in this world. We are the first generation to know everything that is happening as it's happening. Got to think about that. It's no wonder that men's hearts are failing them for fear. It's no wonder that the load feels so incredible upon every single one of us, because we're not just carrying what happened on our little farm or our little piece of this earth, or even in our little community of family or friends. We are walking around, most of us, with the knowledge of what is going on in every part of the world. We hear it. We try to let some of it run off. We try to escape some of it, but it just keeps dogging us, keeps following us everywhere, everywhere we go. There's more information coming at us of another situation that's occurring in another place right now. This is happening right now. One of the shootings that took place, I think it was the one out in California here recently, you know, they broke into the radio station that I was listening to. And right now, there's a gunman in a school shooting. You know, right now. And so the pressures and the struggles and the difficulties that are going on all over the world are now all of ours right now. That's a heavy load. How many will be honest? You can kind of feel it. Better learn how to cast your cares upon Him. Because if your life is like my life, just carrying your very own load is about all you can handle. Hello? And trying to pick up the load of people in Syria, in Croatia, Afghanistan, and Iraq gets to be a bit more than what a person can handle. And there's part of you that goes, oh my goodness, what's going to happen with all of this? That's what we're talking about today. I want you to know that there is a scheduled day of independence that is coming. A day when this world is going to be set free. And in that day, and I won't go too far down this, we'll talk about a little bit more at another point, but in that day when this world is liberated from the rule of Satan, a lion and a lamb will lie down together. Because there will be no animosity, there will be no struggle, there'll be no difficulty. It says that a child will play by the hole of a poisonous snake, there'll be no difficulty. So the liberation will come not just to men and women, but that liberation will come to all of creation. How cool is that? Like every declaration of independence that you and I are familiar with, there was a document that was signed and placed down, and then battles that were fought to win the rights that that document said. That liberation of the souls of men. Jesus, at the very beginnings of His ministry, made a statement. He said, God so loved the world that He sent His Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. He made that statement before He ever paid for it. How many realize that? Some years, as a matter of fact, some years before He ever made the payment, Jesus made that declaration of independence. You and I are walking around with God's declaration of independence for this world right here. I think it's pretty magnificent. He has never failed to keep His word, not one single time. So guess what's coming? Independence Day. Like every freedom, it's got to be fought for. So look at the battle for earth, would you? In verse 11 of chapter 19, I saw the heavens standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. His name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written: King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, come, gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, generals, and mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse and his army. Let's pause there for just a second. Note who's leading the battle. King Jesus. He fought the battle on the cross for the souls, for the hearts of you and I. Whosoever believes on Him is liberated by the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. But when it's time to liberate the earth, Here comes Jesus. This time, he's not riding into the city on a donkey's colt. This time, people aren't spreading palm branches down in front of him, crying hosannas that will soon turn into crucify him. This time, he is a white horse rider. Now listen, let me just mention this to you. Some of you in here that know this to be a reality may have a feeling down inside of you to get a little torqued up about this. Maybe just a little bit excited. I'd like for you to feel free. Okay? I told you on Father's Day, guys, you could sleep. Not today. We're talking about Independence Day here. This calls for food and fireworks. The white horse rider called faithful and true, who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. Jesus. With justice, he judges and makes war. How? Because he lived it and he died for the right to be on that horse. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself, the scripture says. Listen to what he says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 12 to the church at Philadelphia. He told them, I will also write him on him, the one who overcomes, the one who believes, I will also write on that person my new name. So not only is he going to have that new name, but everybody that belongs to him is going to have his new name written on them. It's quite a picture. Verse 13, he's dressed in a robe dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Verse number 15, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. This is his book of rule for the whole earth. Do you realize how honored we are? How privileged we are to take this? How many of you have one of these? Grab a hold of it. Let me see. How many of you have one of these? Do you realize how privileged we are? We are holding in our hands the Constitution and bylaws of the kingdom of God. He's not going to come up with something new. He's not going to, you know, get together a group of people and say, we're going to formulate this new kingdom. And so we want to sit down and come up with a book of rules and standards. It's right here. It's been with us the whole time. You and I can live by the standard, by the constitution of the kingdom of God, because it's right here. And what is the force, what is the power that's coming out of this mighty king as he comes to conquer and to come and take possession of this earth and to bring liberty? What is it that's coming out of his mouth? It is the Word of God. You might want to read that sometime. You say, oh, I read it and I don't really understand it. You're trying to eat the whole horse. Take a bite. Just make a decision to not move on. It may be too much for you. It may be too big for you, but don't move on to the next bite. Every single day, get up and chew on that one bite until you got a hold of it. You say, I now understand. Read the context around it. Get a hold of it because it's the Word of God. And guess what? It's liberating. You see, what God wants to do, because of what Jesus did upon the cross, what he is wanting to do is to move you and I from the kingdoms of this world into the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's wanting to possess us. He's wanting to overcome us with what? The power of God's Word and of his Spirit. So that we're walking not after the flesh, but after his Spirit. So that we have a whole different set of priorities. What are those priorities? They're the priorities of the Word of God. They're the priorities of the kingdom of God. God is sending Jesus back to this world to bring independence to this world, to release this world from captivity. And guess what the rule will be? The Word of God. You and I who know Jesus have the privilege of walking in the kingdom of His dominion every day of our lives. It's a choice. Oh, you know, maybe I should get to know what that book says. I mean, after all, if it's going to be the rule of the earth after the liberation, I suppose I should know. Yeah. Absolutely. Because see, in the same way that it brings freedom to this world when it's released out of the mouth of the white horse rider, when it's released into your and my life, it will bring that same liberty, only it will bring it today. That's why it says, who the Son sets free is free indeed. People mistakenly think that that means that somehow or another, you know, because I say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, that twang, instantly I have complete liberty in my life from all worldliness and all temptation and all sorrow and all distress. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way in anything. All independence has to be paid for. Jesus paid the debt for your and my entrance into His kingdom. But you and I will make the decision as to whether we're going to live by the standards of that kingdom or by the patterns and standards of the world. Just keep this in mind. His kingdom is a kingdom of liberty and peace. The kingdom of this world is a kingdom of death and selfishness and sorrow and pain. And you and I are choosing. Note here, He's not alone. Verse number 14, the armies of heaven were following Him, riding on white horses and wearing fine linen, white and clean. Wow, angels! Nope. It's not angels. There may be angels, but He doesn't even talk about them here. Revelation chapter 3, 5 says, He who overcomes will be like them, dressed in white. Revelation 3, 18, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness. You and I have an opportunity to trade in our filthy garments for white clothes. We can be those white-clothed riders that follow Jesus. Note in verse number 19, we read it there. Verse 17, the birds of prey are called to a feast. There's going to be feasting on that day. See, I told you, every good independent day has some food. I know some of you just won't get into it at all, will you? You're in the pain of life and you just want to stay there. The birds are invited to a great supper. And He tells who's on the menu. Kings, generals, mighty men, horses and riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. You see, there's coming a day, whether you realize it or not, there's coming a day where people are going to be the enemy of those who love the Lord. I think if you're smart, you can see it coming. We're already calling evil good and good evil. We're already well underway that if you proclaim the name of Jesus, you're out there. the world is going to line up and draw battle lines against those that believe in Jesus. It's coming. And this Declaration of Independence that we are looking at here this morning is a very, very real, real, real thing that's about to happen. I say about to happen because it could happen within the next 7 years. You say, Pastor, how do you know that? Well, I've been reading the book. It says the enemy gathers for battle. The beast, we're not going to go into all the beasty stuff this morning, but let's just put it in the context that it is, the ruler of the whole earth, Mr. Solution, who's going to rise up and all the kings of the earth will bow down before him, and all the peoples of the earth will just be enamored by him because he's got the answer for everybody. But it will be the answer of the world. His force will be Satan, who will drive him forward. It's interesting here that no battle actually takes place. The beast and the false prophet are captured, and the two of them are thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. It says the rest of the armies are killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider on the horse. Verse 15, out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. Not much of a battle when only the leader fights. That's why it's going to be on that day. The armies that are following him, all the saints dressed in white, riding behind our great, great and awesome leader. The power of the Word of God will slay them. The very word that the world has rejected, that is too narrow, it's too exacting, it's not what we want. That Word of God coming out of the mouth of the one who paid the debt will capture the beast and the false prophet and throw them into the lake of fire. The closing scene of the battle, and all the birds gorge themselves on their flesh. Look at the next part of this. It's not only is there's this battle, but now the Lord turns his attention to the one who's been behind it all. Because in chapter 20, beginning at verse number 1, he says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven, having the key to the abyss, and holding in his hand a great chain. He seized the dragon," in case you didn't know who the dragon is, that ancient serpent, that guy from the garden, who is the devil, or Satan. You get the picture? He doesn't want there to be any mistake of who he's going after at this point. The angel comes out of heaven with a chain and grabs hold of Satan and binds him up and throws him into the pit for 1,000 years. Yes. That tempter of mankind. That one that steals the hearts and minds of our children and drags them off into the foulness of this world. That one who would lead them not into good things and into peace and joy, but who wants to lead them into devastation. That one who is destroying lives all around us, and we wag our heads and say, "How can this happen? They should know better." It's because Satan, the old serpent, the dragon, has been deceiving them. He's been a liar since the beginning, and he continues to lie. But my friends, hear me this morning. One of these days, a declaration of independence has already been signed, sealed, and delivered. He knows it, and you and I should know it, that he is a defeated foe. His days are numbered. Yes, he may be able to tempt us. He may be able to try us. He may be able to throw sickness our way in this life. But hear me. He knows it, and you should know it. He has been given notice. His days are numbered. He will be bound and thrown into the pit. I'm looking forward to that day. He still has the power and the rule right now to mess with my life. And shamefully, I have to admit to you that I give him the ground to do that way too many times. Instead of listening to this book, instead of following the Holy Spirit, I yield the members of my body to his inferior design. But there's coming a day where he will be defeated. I want you for just a moment to think with me of the kind of world that will exist without a devil, without evil, without pain, without sorrow, without struggle. Woo! He'll be locked in the pit for 1,000 years. And my Bible says that Jesus will come and sit down on a throne in Jerusalem and will rule this world. And when judgments are needed, he'll pull to this word that he quoted. He said few words that were not already spoken in the testament of God. And when he comes and sits on the throne in his kingdom, he will pull from this word once again, and he will rule justly over the whole earth, and there will be peace. Peace. Glorious peace and joy. And sickness will flee away. Because there'll be no enemy to bring it on to mankind. Oh, I don't know. You may not be interested. You may just be more interested in getting out of here in the next 5 minutes. But you know what? I'm interested in this because every time I see a life that is torn and broken by the enemy, I have to remind myself that Independence Day is coming. The declaration has already been sent. The declaration's already been signed in blood. It's already right here. It's mine to realize that Satan will be defeated. Sorrow and sickness and pain, it's going to have to flee away. Because a new kingdom. That leads me to these last verses here in verse number 4. And I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word of God. They had not worshipped the beast or his image and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have part in the first resurrection. By the way, this is a two-parter. Part two next week. Oh, thank you, Lord. After this revolutionary war, a new government is set up. Jesus on the throne. And those he has appointed out of his followers and those who have accepted him to rule and reign. Jesus on the throne. There's a scene in a movie called Independence Day. How many verses did you ever see that? It's kind of kooky, but it's been around. It's one of those that's on television about every other day. It'll be on this week. You watch and see. It'll be on there on probably 5 or 6 channels. There's a scene, you know, and these aliens have come and they're going to take over the earth and they're destroying everything and they're getting ready to just wipe everything and everybody out. And all of a sudden, Randy Quaid, who is the most unlikely of all people, flying a jet plane, is the only one who has a rocket left on his ship. You know the scene? And he is flying that thing right straight up. Do you have that? Yeah, here it is. See, he's flying it, and he flies right straight up into the vortex, into the mothership, right into the place, the only vulnerable place, and blows it to smithereens. And as soon as the others around the world hear what has taken place, then they all do the same thing, and the world is liberated. That's a silly show. But it makes a point. Our Lord Jesus is ready to liberate this world. He has already given to us the Declaration of Independence, and He signed it with His blood. He said, "I'm coming soon. I'm coming back to liberate this world." And when He comes, He's not coming to mess around. He's not coming to live on this earth like we lived in sin and struggle and difficulty. He's not coming down to just walk among us and to be tempted and tested as we are. He's not even coming back to give His life another time. He's coming back as the victor. And He's going right for the heart of man's problem. He is going to move through everything else and go right for Satan himself. He's going to end the agony that man has been in. The only question that's left is, which side will you be on Independence Day? It was a choice that the people had to make in the colonies. Some, those loyalists that I talked about, they chose to fight with the British to keep the British rule. You realize if they would have won, there would have been no free United States of America that we live in today. We would have still been under the king or the queen of England, unless some other nation fought against them and took over the power, who knows? Choices are made on Independence Day. The nations of the world are going to rise up against the Lord Jesus to do battle against Him. People just like you and I. Others who have given their hearts to Jesus and believe that He died upon the cross and they're willing to live their lives for Him are going to be in His presence and come back to this earth with Him, riding toward the victory. You don't get that privilege living your life by the pattern of this world. You get that privilege by turning your life over to Jesus. We enjoy incredible freedoms today. You can come and sit in this house and be living your life however you want to live it. And for the most part, we may not know a single thing. You're sitting among us. You're numbered among us. But your heart may not be in the same place that our hearts would be. on that day, you'll be known. You will be known as you are. I love that. You know, we always want to take that scripture verse that says you shall be known as you are known. We want to take that and make that, well, all of our loved ones will know who I am. That kind of goes to the egocentric business of our lives. The reality is we will be known as we are, for what we are. Won't be any hypocrites following Jesus when he comes back to liberate the earth. Only those who are washed in the blood of the Lamb and who are following him when they leave this world. Today can be your Independence Day. You see, I've already had, in my life personally, I have already had that Independence Day. My life has already been set free by the blood of Jesus. The only thing to be defeated in me is death. And I'm going to live my life for Jesus so that his life can be in me, Pastor. That's going to be one cool day. Hello? Coming back with Jesus to liberate this world? Yeah. What's your life like? What? Where are you living? Which kingdom? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of this world? Where are your priorities? See, these are the questions that we need to ask ourselves today. What's the priority of your life? Find the liberty in the Lord Jesus. Find the peace, the joy, the presence, the power. All the things that are promised when he rules on this earth are available to us in our individual life if we will let him. Today, stand with me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. This morning, if you know that you're not walking with the Lord Jesus, I would invite you to come to this altar. If you're unsure this morning of where you stand in the Lord Jesus, I would invite you to come to this altar and bow your heart before him. Let the king who's coming back to earth be the king who sits on the throne of your life. You can choose that today be your Independence Day. You and your world can be set free today. Because it's the same word, it's the same power that will liberate this entire world. It's the word that is available to you today to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and to give you rule for your life. Too many of us, folks, we're letting the rule of this earth be the rule of our life. And this earth is under a different king. We need to understand that. You can't just live under the laws of the land, because the laws of the land are subject to Satan's rule. You have got to be living under the truth and the power of God's word, letting that be your guide. If you don't, who knows where you'll end up?